this for my culture, 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 culture.
So welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us this evening. Folks, we're going to have a great conversation. We're going to first talk about what is the future of one of Baltimore's most historic landmarks. I'm talking about Lexington Market. There's going to be a public town hall about the redevelopment of the market, and we're going to be talking to just a representative of the development company to give us some insight as to what we can expect tomorrow night at this conversation, and of course how it will impact you and the great city of Baltimore. We'll have that discussion up next. Also, later on in the show, we talk to one of the Voices contestants, Foon Shou, to talk to us about his upcoming projects, music, and how he's using the culture to impact all over the world as he's representing for the strong, strong country of Nigeria. So stay riding with us. It's all happening on tonight's edition of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. Now let's check in with NPR to get your latest in news and traffic. We'll be
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us this evening. Folks, we have a great conversation ahead of us. Man, oh man, I've been really looking forward personally to having this conversation because it touches on something that has been near and dear to so many of us, especially if you are from Baltimore, you live in Baltimore, you work in Baltimore, you understand the gravity of this conversation we're going to have tonight. We're going to be talking about the future of one of Baltimore's most historic landmarks, Lexington Market. What is the future of the market? Because there is a development company that is on site and ready to rock and roll to develop Lexington Market into a whole new, different space. Let me just share this. Now, the thing is, they're going to have a conversation. There's going to be a public meeting that will be held at Lexington Market tomorrow, June the 26th, from 6 o'clock p.m. until 7:30 p.m. And they're going to have these public town hall meetings to discuss the future of the market, as Seawall Development is looking to revamp and redevelop the market into a space that is more, quote unquote, user friendly. They're looking to do some having vendors to community space and other programming. But they certainly are asking for the city's input on this particular situation as to what does the future of Lexington Market looks like, especially considering so many of us understand the gravity of this situation, that this is not just a historic landmark in the great city of Baltimore, but also this is a sign of the times that things are certainly changing in the city of Baltimore. Things are definitely changing. So I want you to join us into this conversation as we talk to Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington, who leads the community engagement team for Seawall Development, to give us some insight. And Mr. Slater Harrington said, look, let's have this conversation. Let's keep it real, right? Let's keep it real, and let's have this conversation about what's going to be happening, what we can expect at tomorrow's town hall meeting, how folks can participate in the town hall meeting, Mr. Slater Harrington, and, you know, what's the next steps for this whole process? Because I think people are going to have a lot of questions. You know it, and I know it. So we're going to get into that in a few moments. And I want you to join us a couple of ways. One, you can certainly hit us up on our Facebook page at WEAA. You can hit me up on my Facebook page. And, of course, you can also give us a call at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. I'm going to ask you that when you do make your calls, we're going to try to get everybody's call in. So we're asking that you keep your points or your questions short, sweet, and to the point, as we're going to try to, as we expect this to be a very, very big conversation. So let's kick it off with Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington, who leads the community engagement team for Seawall Development. First, Pickett, thank you so much, sir, for coming on to For the Culture this evening.
Thank you so much, Faraji, for having me, but thank you so much for having this conversation in Baltimore. I think it's timely, and we're ready to have this conversation about Lexington Market.
There's a readiness for this. First and foremost, Seawall Development, this process, or this project rather, has been talked about for a little bit over a year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Has it been much longer?
It's been much longer. If you kind of think about Lexington Market, right? Lexington Market is one of the oldest continuously operating markets in the country. It's been operating for 230 years. That's nine generations in Baltimore.
Wow.
So if you were to ask Baltimoreans about Lexington Market, everybody has a story. Everybody has an experience. It's an icon. And when you think about the city of Baltimore, we're in a unique moment in time where we're deciding what type of city we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Will we be a city that's built just for some to take advantage of? Or are we going to be a city that's built on equity, that has access for all? And Lexington Market is a decision point for the city. We're making a decision about what type of city we want to be. And Lexington Market will be an example of that.
So how was if I don't know if this was something to consider for Seawall Development, but was this how was Seawall chosen for this particular project?
Yes. So Lexington Market belongs to the city of Baltimore.
Okay.
So the city
and that's
owns
the Lexington Market Inc.
Yep, Lexington Market, the city owns Lexington Market, and it has a management, nonprofit management company that takes care of the market,
okay. But
it belongs to the community of Baltimore. So it's the right and responsibility of the citizens of Baltimore to develop a vision for Lexington Market. The city of Baltimore selected Seawall to help facilitate the process of transforming Lexington Market. And the city chose Seawall based on its kind of track record and history of connecting with community and listening to community and working alongside community to develop public spaces and places. A lot of folks might know Seawall through their work with Miller's Court, which was an old kind of tin manufacturing building,
mm-hmm.
That they were able to take that historic space and turn it into a mixed-use facility where you have apartments and housing for teachers,
yeah. But
also you have co-working space for nonprofits in the education field, but also in the health field. So Seawall is really about kind of listening to community and co-creating alongside community.
I hear you. Folks, if you're just checking in to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 this evening, we're talking to Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington, who leads the community engagement team for Seawall Development. This is the development company that has been chosen by the city to do the redevelopment of the historic landmark market, Lexington Market. There will be a public town hall meeting about this redevelopment that's going to be kicking off tomorrow from 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. We will certainly give you details on how you can participate. But I will tell you, folks are already signing up for this discussion. And so we wanted to make sure that we have a conversation with Mr. Slater Harrington to give us some insight before that larger public meeting. That way you can have an opportunity to pose your questions. Even if you aren't able to make it out to the town hall, you can hear what the plans are about and how folks can get involved to make sure that the interests of the city of Baltimore, of those communities that surround Lexington Market, of being heard loud and clear. Pickett, if we talk to us about, okay, you mentioned that this is a project that's been talked about. Seawall has been chosen by the city.
Mm-hmm.
230 years
yes.
that Lexington Market has been in Baltimore.
Yes.
This is one of the, if I'm not mistaken, one of the oldest markets in this country that's still standing and is still operating.
Yes, that's correct.
So what is, first and foremost, the reports show that the redevelopment would take in, will start, should be complete about 2021.
Yes.
Is that still a timeline?
Yes, that's correct. To give you a short kind of overview of the timeline, we're starting this year in 2019 thinking about community engagement.
Right.
Right? Because that's essential to creating a space that's going to reflect what Baltimore wants and needs. So 2019, we're engaging community, we're listening to their vision, and we have several ways that folks could do that. 2020 is the groundbreaking. Construction begins on the new market, looking to finish the market in late summer of 2021. So that's correct.
All right. And now what's the budget or what's the cost for this? Because there have been a lot of numbers that have been thrown out. And I think that there's some discussion that the costs have kind of is under budgeted in terms of, mm-hmm. you know, what was originally forecasted and then what the actual cost. So what's the cost for this project?
Yeah. So you mentioned before that there's been lots of work on Lexington Market. So
right.
this isn't the beginning. This is a continuation of a process. So several years ago, we had the city look to figure out how do we redevelop Lexington Market. And they worked alongside with other individuals to kind of gather input. And they came up with the design for the physical space of Lexington Market. And that design met a couple economic challenges with the number being so large that it just kind of prevented from being able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But also the kind of design of the space, it really didn't receive a lot of great community feedback on it. And so ultimately, it didn't move forward. So when Seawall came in, we're taking a look at that past information that was shared, the feedback that was given, and taking that and incorporating and kind of moving it forward. So the city at this point is looking to make about a $30 million investment. And that comes from several different sources throughout the city, the state, and other financing kind of mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a huge investment into Baltimore and into the city. And like I said, Baltimore City owns the market. So it belongs to the community.
$30 million investment.
Yes.
From various sources.
Yep.
The city is willing to put up for that. Is that the total cost for the project, or are there some additional expenses?
Yes. Yeah, so that represents a kind of overall figure for the process. One of the things that we're clear about is being open and transparent
yeah.
about the costs and what goes into kind of taking care of the space in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we'll be doing is putting that information out to the public
yeah.
so the public can take a look at that. And we're using LexingtonMarket.com/transform as the kind of repository for that information. So if anybody's interested in seeing that, they can go there.
LexingtonMarket.com/transform is the big website for more information. All right, let me open up the phone lines, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. So we talked to Pickett Slater Harrington to get some insight about the future of Lexington Market, folks. Let's ask the questions. Let's have the conversation. Let me go to Rodney in Brooklyn, Maryland. Rodney, what's your take on it, sir?
What's going on? What's going on? How y'all
what's
doing?
What's going on, Rodney? I'm good. How are you, brother?
Doing good. Doing good. Well, I'm gonna tell you. I think it's a great idea. You know, I think, and this is going. I may sound like the devil's advocate. I don't know, but you're gonna have to definitely clean it up. Like you said, you know, you got people coming to invest. Investors, they want a profit. It's an investment, right?
Right.
So you're going to have to clean all that up around there. And that, unfortunately, you have to clean up people because times are changing. And everybody out there loitering, that's not a good look for change if you want to change.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a great idea. They can still make Lexington Market something that the people could like, you know, the people could like, but I think it's a great idea. I think because the way the city looks at it, you know, I'm trying to bring tourism. I'm trying to make Baltimore City to be this thing on the map. So
you think it's long overdue, Rodney?
I think it's long overdue. I think they should go ahead and do it. And once it gets done, you know, you'll see more tourist attractions. Yeah. I do lifts, so I have more people to pick up. So we can all work together this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Rodney, thank you so much for kicking off the conversation. Checking in from Brooklyn, Maryland. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, what's your take on this, sir? We're talking about the future of Lexington Market.
Thanks, Roger, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Mr. Harrington, there's no inference here in what I'm about to say. I'm kind of suspicious of the usage of the word market. Are we talking about the traditional usage market, whereas people have a focal point in the middle of the city where they can come and buy fresh produce and good and vegetables and things of that sort, as opposed to it being transformed into something, shall we say, a space for leisure activity adjacent to Camden Yards and the harbor? That's my question. Lexington Market has been, now, of course, there are some problems down in Lexington Market and around Lexington Market. External to that, the transformation of Lexington Market into what? To upgrade it into a better space where the traditional use to buy the goods and produce, where people can, in the central part of Maryland, access from the subway station and the community in and around there, as opposed to using the word market and transforming it into something else.
Yeah.
Thanks, Raji.
Hey, you're welcome, Clarence. Thank you so much. I think that's a great question as we look into this. Pickett, what would be the answer to that in terms of market? How is Seawall Development, what is their vision and definition of market?
Yes, so a couple of things I want to touch on. One is on what Rodney said earlier. I think it's so important. And we've been out kind of talking to community, visiting neighborhood associations. And one of the things that we've heard is that you can't have a thriving, successful Lexington Market if the community around it isn't thriving and successful. So we kind of think of the market as an economic development engine and generator. So you have to make sure that the community surrounding the market comes up as the market kind of comes up as well. And when Clarence kind of mentioned the idea of what type of market this is, that's such an important question, Clarence. And it really is about food access. So we think about Lexington Market as creating greater food access. And if you're going to do that, Clarence, you're right. You got to have fresh food. There'll be some mix of kind of fresh food providers where you're talking about your meat, your vegetables, your fruit, your other items that you can get in a grocery store. There'll be also a mix of kind of prepared food and kind of specialty is what we call it, or retail. So it'll be a mix in that, and you have to figure out the right mix. But it is ultimately the market is about food access.
Talk to us about how this redevelopment is going to impact the SNAP program, which is the program that allows folks to get food stamps and to get to get access to food on a discounted rate where there's no cost to them personally. So talk to us about that, because there was some discussion about whether this new development is going to honor the SNAP program. Can you give us some clarity?
Yes. If the market is about food access, fundamentally you have to figure out a way to make sure that people of all economic means can gain access to that food. And one of the ways to do that is through SNAP benefits. So I want to be clear that Lexington Market and Seawall, we support SNAP benefits being accepted at Lexington Market. That's one of the ways that you have
to create. That's going to stay throughout this whole redevelopment process.
Throughout the entire redevelopment project, because it's about equity. It's an issue of equity. How do you help folks who don't have great economic means access healthy, fresh food? And SNAP benefits is essential to that. A lot of folks have heard in the news that a lot of the vendors, the USDA prevented certain vendors from accepting SNAP.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Seawall, along with those vendors, as well as the management corporation for the market, actually went to Congressman Elijah Cummings' office and told him about the situation, and he immediately called for an investigation of it. And we're also looking to work with other food policy advocates in Baltimore to make sure that SNAP remains at Lexington Market. It's a foundational piece of the market and of providing food access.
So you guys are open at this point and at this stage of the process to connecting with some of the urban farmers that we have here in the city of Baltimore?
Yes, I'll give you an example of this. I was at an event yesterday. A brother, Eric Jackson, of the Black Yield Institute, he did this great documentary on Baltimore's strange fruit, where he did a documentary on Cherry Hill, on the history of Cherry Hill and its fight for food access. And they had the screening yesterday. And so you have folks like Eric Jackson out here kind of working to kind of get the word out about food access. In that documentary, he highlighted the difference between a food desert and food apartheid, right? Mm-hmm. Food desert kind of it connotates that it's a natural occurring phenomenon, which is not, right? Like, you know, food apartheid is about, you know, the structures and systems that create a lack of access to food for individuals. And we should be talking about food apartheid, not food deserts. So you have folks like Eric Jackson and Black Yield Institute, but you also have folks like the Matthew E. Henson Community Development Corporation that did a food symposium where they're talking about how can we get a grocery store in our community and get food access. So you have people out in Baltimore doing work, food justice, food policy work, and we have to connect with those individuals and we have to support them, and they also have to support what happens at Lexington Market. And the only way that the market is going to be successful is if you activate everybody.
410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. We're talking to Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington, who leads the community engagement team for Seawall Development, the development company that's responsible for the redevelopment of Baltimore's most historic one of Baltimore's most historic landmarks, Lexington Market. There will be a public town hall, first town hall meeting on this redevelopment of Lexington Market tomorrow, June 26th, from 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. You can log on to lexingtonmarket.com/transform. Can folks sign up or kind of RSVP?
Yes, you can RSVP. I think we're already up to about 175 folks who have RSVP.
About to get 1,000 people.
Yep, we want it because this conversation is so needed in Baltimore. And if we're going to make Lexington Baltimore's market, we're going to need to hear from everybody in Baltimore. If you can't make it out to the town hall, we do have free child care and refreshments for Raji to make sure we get access to people.
You got free child care.
Free child care
and refreshments.
And refreshments. So don't let that deter you from coming out. If you can bring the kids out as well.
Right.
If you can't make it to the town hall, you can actually go to lexingtonmarket.com and fill out a community survey. And I'm also, Seawall will be going around to different neighborhood groups and associations presenting and listening as well.
All right, I'm going to check in on my Facebook page because folks are posting their comments. Valerie said, my only question for Seawall is that will Black-owned and operated businesses and companies from Baltimore will be used in the redevelopment? How will Black youth be included in the development? Will the Black community be employed first? If there's no Black agenda written into this development, I cannot stand with this project. Couple of questions from Valerie.
Yes, and Valerie, I'm saying I need you to come out and create this agenda. That's what I'm talking about when folks say we need folks to create a vision, is to lay that out. And I will say, yes, it's an issue of equity, Valerie. We have to think about equity, especially in the Black community. Mm-hmm. When I go around to the neighborhood associations, and one of the things that keeps coming up for Raji is this tension of we have to figure out a way when it comes to the vendors in the market. We have to figure out how do you retain those vendors that are there, that have been there for a while and supported the market and throughout this kind of transformation, how do they remain and how do you support them? Mm-hmm. But how do you also create new opportunity for new vendors? And quite frankly, the community is saying we need more Black-owned businesses and vendors in Lexington Market. That's what we're hearing out in the community.
Do you have a plan of action in terms of getting or creating Lexington Market to such a way it employs young people?
I think you have to kind of think about young people when you think about Lexington Market. And that equity not only deals with vendors, but it also deals in the construction of Lexington Market. It deals in the programming of Lexington Market. You have to think about it the entire line throughout. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get that equity is to actually plan for it and then work towards it. You have to set goals and lay out goals and move towards that. But the only way that that happens is if the community pushes for it, fights for it, and then holds us accountable as well. That's the other thing. You have to hold hold individuals and institutions accountable to fulfilling that vision.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, I'm going to continue to get more questions from you. We got Arnold from Baltimore, one of our new callers, checking in. And, of course, I'll be getting your questions from our Facebook as well as from the Facebook page of WEAA. Look, folks, we're talking about the future of Lexington Market. Yes, we're talking to Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington from Seawall Development. They're looking to change the game of one of Baltimore's most historic landmarks right there in the heart of downtown, right there, just a couple of yards, you know, a couple of blocks from the downtown area. What are your thoughts about this? That's all I'm asking. What are your thoughts? What are your questions? What are your concerns? Because I don't want you to wait until after Mr. Slater Harrington leave and then you can have something to say. Talk to the man now. Talk to the man now. Or come down, check out the first town hall meeting that they're going to be having tomorrow from 6 to 7:30 right there at the market. Look, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, more of your questions, more discussion about the future of Lexington Market. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Give me a call at 410-319-8888. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks, for the second 30 of tonight's show. We're talking to Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington, who leads the community engagement team for Seawall Development, who is responsible for the redevelopment of Lexington Market. That's right, folks. After 230 years, it looks like the market that we have all come to know and love is going to be getting a major facelift. A lot of things are going to be happening in the area. It's going to impact the city of Baltimore. And some of folks are concerned about what type of new changes they can expect. Well, that all of those questions and concerns you may have can be posed to the Seawall Development team, because they are going to have their first town hall meeting tomorrow from 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. at Lexington Market, where refreshments will be served as well as childcare will be available. So, folks, you don't have to worry about, you know, who is going to be watching your children. You can't make it. This is a conversation that I think is very, very important. Because there are so many of you that have expressed to me and throughout various conversations about the future of this city. And we know the city is changing. We know the city is really changing. Some might say it's for the worse. Some might say it's for the better, depending on who you are. But guess what, folks? There's something, Pickett, that I always learned. It was the old saying that there's nothing in life more constant than change itself.
Yep.
So we are at this point that changes are happening. We just got to figure out, how do we prepare for the change? And more importantly, how do we gain or benefit from the change? And so that's what we're trying to do, getting an understanding about what's going to be happening at one of our historic landmarks here in the city. Let me go back to the phone line, see what folks got to say. Arnold from Baltimore, thank you for checking in. New caller, what's your take on this, Arnold?
How you doing this evening?
I'm good, Arnum. How are you?
Great. One of my major concerns, Faraji, is are they just throwing another blanket over top of our heads again? When I look at the communities that's around Lexington Market, what communities are there? And how many people actually market from out of that market? And why not place a new market inside those surrounding communities? I think it would be better served.
Okay. Okay. Do you want Pickett to answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And Arnold, you know, I always appreciate you for checking in. Pickett, what's your take on that? For how, you know, what communities are around the neighborhood, and are they currently supporting Lexington Market as it stands right now?
Yep. You know, Arnold, I think you're right. When you think about food access and providing food access for folks, it's not just about Lexington Market, right? Lexington Market is one of the main markets in Baltimore, but there are six other markets around that the city owns and kind of operates.
Yeah.
But it's about figuring out a way to create better food access for everybody.
Yeah.
And there's this term that's called targeted universalism. John Powell put it out. And what it describes is if you're going to solve an equity issue, then you have to target the people who are struggling the most. And if you solve it for them, then it's easier to solve it for everybody else. And the example they use are like curb cuts in the side of the sidewalks. You know, the little dip that kind of lets you go to the street. It was originally designed for folks who are living with disabilities, right? So they can get up and down the sidewalks. But if you think about that change as part of the American Disabilities Act, that today everybody benefits for that curb cuts. I don't care if you are a person delivering a package that you kind of use that and you pull up the cart, or if you're a mother in a stroller that kind of goes down, everybody benefits for that change. And I think Lexington Market is an example of that. What we're trying to do is figure out how do you create food access for folks who are struggling in Baltimore, in the city of Baltimore. And if you can figure that out, we can figure out how to do it in the other communities and other neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And it's not mutually exclusive. You have to do it all at the same time. And the only way you're going to be able to work on Lexington and the communities that Arnold cares about is we activate the entire city of Baltimore and getting them thinking about food access.
So, and I think Arnold brings up a good question, which is, in the point that you made, if there are six other markets in the neighborhood, because I know that if you go to, I mean, this, I could think, I'm looking at some just right there in my mind. So if there's six other markets in the neighborhood that folks have choices to go to, what is going to be the competitive advantage of Lexington Market? Because I know that as part of this conversation, not only is there food access, but there's been talks about creating a community space. There's been some general broad ideas of programming, quote unquote. So what is this new vision? Because Seawall Development, just to give people a context, Seawall Development are the developers behind the R House that's
yes.
in Remington right now.
Yes.
And I, you know, the R House is a space where it's like you have restaurants, a big cafeteria style. They have a bar in the middle of the space. Then you have the various restaurants. So is it that type of thing? Like, you know, in terms, I'm saying physically. When somebody goes in there, they're going to get their fresh fruits and vegetables. But then there's this community space, there's this programming. How does that fit in?
Yes. So when you think about the transformation of Lexington Market, we're not just talking about a physical space, the physical building. That's one aspect of the kind of transformation. But you're also talking about the vendor mix, like who's there, what they're offering. Is it fresh food, prepared food, specialty food?
Mm-hmm.
So that mix of vendors is one piece. Another one is community programming. What activities, events are happening around there that folks can kind of take advantage of? So that's really important. We're also talking about safety and environment. Like what does the safety and environment around the market look like and within the market as well?
Yeah.
So there are all those are connected together. And when you think about Lexington Market, it is a market. And I think Clarence referred to this before. It is about fresh food and giving folks access to that fresh food
yeah.
As well. And that's very different than what is known as a food hall or a place where you go get prepared food.
Right.
A market is designed to provide folks that access to kind of fresh food and serve in sense as a grocer
yeah.
Where it may not be one. So that's a big difference.
Considering that, and we're going to get back to the questions, but considering directly across the street from Lexington Market is you have that little strip of vendors, I mean, of retail stores and whatnot. What's going to, how does that change? Is that Is that going to be redeveloped as well, or is that a whole different thing?
I think you have to think about that entire environment, and that's part of kind of having a community vision, right? It's one thing to have a vision for Lexington Market, the physical building itself, but you also have to think about what are the spaces and the buildings and how do they complement that and build on one another.
Yeah.
I was talking to a gentleman who said he had been coming to the market for 30 years. And I was in the market. I was talking to him. He's like, you know what? I remember when we had farmers, vendors out selling all the way down, Packer Street and beyond. And they were selling like fresh fruits and vegetables. I remember on the other side, we had clothing vendors that would sell all the way down on the other side. So Lexington Market has always been this great gathering place for community where economic kind of activity took place. And you have to think about what is that economic activity around the market as well.
Yeah.
So not only the vision for the market, but the vision for what surrounds the market as well.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Let me hear from Iram from Baltimore County. Then I want to hear from Yasmin, Cynthia, Donna, Ock, and Thomas. Iram from Baltimore County, what's your take?
Okay, thank you for taking my call, Elijah.
You're welcome.
So all this is very good to hear. But for me personally, Lexington Market provided everything except that the black community was not empowered. They were used to make benefit, to make profit. What I would like to see and what I would like your guests to answer is what are they going to do to empower the black community, especially people from the city, so they can own businesses and support. You're just not going to throw somebody in a space, give them money. Mm-hmm. You have to provide experts to keep them going and make sure they do their business successfully. Instead of being Asian dominated, it should be black from the city. I mean, African American from the city.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would like him to answer.
Okay.
What is the support? What kind of support they going to provide to help the people from the city?
Thank Absolutely. Ira, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in from Baltimore County. Pickett?
Ira, thank you so much for that comment, because it is about equity when it comes to the black community. And one of the things that we want to provide to existing vendors and new potential vendors is creating a support mechanism for how do we support them, not only through the kind of application process to apply to be a vendor, to also running and operating a business, to figuring out how they get access to capital. So we're trying to think about what are the supports that small business owners need in order to be successful. And we're starting to pull those resources together now. So we're working with different groups and organizations within Baltimore that support small businesses. So when we start to recruit businesses for Lexington Market and start thinking about the selection and criteria, that working group will help provide some of the support and decide some of the criteria and selection process. So we're working with others to help lead that process. You know, Seawall doesn't want to be the ones who decide what vendor goes in to Lexington Market. That should be a community decision, because the community is going to ultimately support the market.
Gotcha.
So we got to provide that support for those small businesses. You can't wait until you launch and start to do that. You got to do it now, and that's what we're doing.
Folks, if you're just tuning in to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM, we've been talking to Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington, who serves as the team lead for the community engagement team for Seawall Development. This is the development company that's responsible for the redevelopment of Lexington Market. They will be having a public town hall meeting about the redevelopments, from everything from safety issues to programming to vendors to use of the how the space should be laid out for community affairs. That town hall is going to be taking place tomorrow night from 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. Again, and that's going to be tomorrow night from 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. right there at the market. Let's go to Yasmin from Baltimore. Yasmin, what's your take on this, ma'am?
Hi.
Hi.
Wow, that was really heavy. Well, I'm a current worker at University of Maryland, Baltimore, and my thing is that I have two concerns. Is the gentrification that could probably happen.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you're talking about the whole point of pushing, no, we're going to keep it within the Black community and everything like that. But that's my main concern, because not only did I live here my whole life, but working downtown, like, just getting from my job from the subway is ridiculous. Like, you got to watch out for the guys that catcall. You got to watch out for the people that are trying to sell some things that you don't want to be a part of.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So my thing is that I don't know if – I can't remember the store that does this, but one thing I would recommend is that you get the Black-owned chefs that are trying to open a restaurant that always do constant pop-ups.
Uh-huh.
Advertise to them, hey, for a whole, like, weekend or a week, you know, serve your food here so you can gain some clout and gain some members in order to grow your business. So it's not only promoting Lexington Market as a premier place where you can get food that is fresh, but you're also encouraging entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yasmeen, are you going to be able to join the town hall tomorrow night?
I will be able to. It's just I'm going to have to probably call Camp Safety so I can get back home safely. You
okay.
know what I'm saying? I'm a young tenderoni champ. You know, can't be looking crazy, but I will support. Even though that's not my neighborhood, I work there. And
right.
Technically, if you work there, and that's for anybody who works in the downtown area, even
sure.
though you work there,
yeah.
you're a part of the community.
Yeah.
Just because you don't live there doesn't mean that you're not a part of it. Because you still see the same person every day. I swear to God, I see the same guy saying, "Ayo,
hey, Mr. Catcall himself."
Yes.
See, I got you. I hear you.
Come on, son.
Come on, son. I rejected you yesterday at 2:30. You didn't get the memo.
Sir, and I'm tired of going 35 miles per hour on play, trying to make it.
All right. Well, Yasmeen, I appreciate that, but you bring it up a very real concern, so I certainly appreciate you for checking in. Hopefully this won't be the last time we hear from you. I think what Calvin had to say from Facebook also kind of adds to what Yasmeen mentioned, which is, will the market be open during renovation and policing and security change once completed? Because then, you know, we're talking about the environment. You're talking about not just the physical space picket, but you're talking about the environment. Right now, I think if we are real with one another, folks, if we are super real with one another, the market as it stands right now is not the best representation of our city. If we are super real, many of us probably have stopped going to the market. And I'm thinking of young women and women in general because of the environment and the level of activity that's in front of the market. I need y'all to be super real with me tonight. So we have to have a conversation about how do we make sure that we're not just throwing people to the side, but at the same time, Pickett, you know, creating a safe space for women, for children, a young lady like Yasmeen and many others who may feel like, if I go down to the market, I'm going to have to deal with some characters. I'm going to have to deal with some elements that are not going to be safe or comfortable to me. So talk to us about the policing and security side of it.
Yes, Faraji, I think that's one of the great tensions that we have to figure out as a community, right?
Yeah.
Is how do you create this space that is safe and accessible and enjoyable for folks to come to Lexington Market and be there, but how do you do it in a way that doesn't feel like gentrification, right? And so there's this balance between trying to figure out how do you keep the best of kind of Lexington Market and what's great about it, and how do you add to it? And so, like, that's the challenge that we have to figure out. And a lot of that deals with safety. I was at a neighborhood association meeting, And I'm listening to folks kind of give comments. And one of the comments that came back, Faraji, was like, you know, the person said one of the biggest things about the market is that, you know, when you walk by, I actually saw a brother sitting in a chair and there was no chair. It was just like he was just kind of floating in air, like leaning.
Wow.
And, you know, and kind of alluding back to some of the challenges with individuals who are dealing with drug addiction, right?
Yeah.
Like, those things are real, but you have to do it in a way where you don't alienate people in a way, or they feel like it's something that's being done to them. Like, you have to figure out a way that the community can respond and help create that space and co-create it, but it's not something that's forcing folks out or pushing them away and that it doesn't belong to them. So we have to figure that out.
So is the currently, I don't know, and you tell me, does the market have its own security?
So you have to check with the management about how they do the security around the market, but that area crosses several different kind of jurisdictions and
for
districts
police.
for policing and also for internally for what the management kind of does. And they could probably share best how they do that.
Yeah.
But it's going to take all those jurisdictions to kind of think about that, but also the community. Right. We're not sure if the response, what it will look like. You want to make sure that you don't criminalize activity for individuals just being in the space and around the market, but you also have to kind of create an environment where folks feel safe and can kind of come back and forth, and you have individuals like Ms. Yasmin that, don't get catcalled every time they kind of walk through. So you have to think about this issue. And the other thing I want to shout out to Ms. Yasmin just about the brilliant idea that you just dropped. So I just want to shout out that black intelligence and intellect that you had. That was an amazing idea about working with black-owned chefs and advertising to them and doing pop-ups.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Cynthia in Baltimore County. Cynthia, talk to me, ma'am. What's your take?
So I live in East Baltimore, and I have Northeast Market.
Mm-hmm.
And Northeast Market, when they started doing some of the renovations, people in the neighborhood, and when I say this, I would say people with residents, used to hang at Northeast Market because it was a gathering place.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are signs up saying you can't sit any longer than 30 minutes. You have to get going. And security comes around and makes those sweeps.
Mm-hmm.
So the market is no longer a gathering place for people in the neighborhood. It's really turned into something else. So as you had this conversation, I keep hearing about the community. A community can be a loaded term.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, to what point will residents, those who live immediately within a certain footprint, have real input and decision-making authority within what goes on in the market? Will they be on boards? Will they be part of the interviewing process? Will they have real input as opposed to just coming to a town hall, taking some suggestions, and maybe or maybe not moving on them?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's a great question. I think that's a great, great question, and I appreciate you, Cynthia, for checking in and sharing that. Can you talk to us about that, Pickett?
Yes, and Cynthia, thank you so much for kind of bringing that up, because it really is about decision-making opportunities. And one of the ways that we're working to create that within Lexi Market and this project is through the creation of work groups. So work groups, we're starting to pull together individuals who work in specific identified areas that have expertise in that area, but also citizens with deep lived experiences. And the two working groups that we're forming right now are around vendors. And so that work group will actually focus on what type of supports you're going to provide to vendors.
Mm-hmm.
How do we recruit diverse vendors?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is actually the criteria and selection process that's going to be used to decide who actually goes into the market? So all of that will be a work group composed of community members. Another one is the same thing as with safety and environment. We're pulling together a work group that has community members with deep lived experience, but also that are working in that area of safety and environment, to actually help come up, what are the strategies for creating a safe environment? What do we even mean when we say safety? Like, what does that mean? So mm-hmm. we have to define that as a community as well. And the only way you get there is if you have community people at the center, not only giving input, like in the town hall, the community surveys, the listening tour, but folks actually participating in the work groups where they're making those decisions and they're doing the hard work to make it a reality.
410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. We're talking about the future of Lexington Market, as we've been talking to Mr. Pickett Slater Harrington about, what does this situation going to look like? And I'm not talking about 5 or 10 years from now. We're talking about in 2 years, 2021, most likely there will be a different Lexington Market down in downtown Baltimore. But now is the opportunity for us to have the conversation about what is going to be taking place inside the market and outside the market. Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. Donna, talk to me. What's your take?
How you doing?
I'm good, right. Donna. How are you?
Pretty good. I live right down in the area. I live within blocks of Lexington Market. I mean, there's several communities. There's a couple of historic communities on both sides of Martin Luther King and on Martin Luther King. And you have a lot of the, you have a lot of rentals, new rentals that move down that area near near the theater. There are pockets of communities, and there are other pockets of communities like houses and stuff that are down there. The problem I have and the safety issue is there's a lot of panhandling, there's a lot of hustling, there's a lot of a drug addiction, and there's a lot of drug selling. And the development plan for Lexington Market is fine, but it's what happens on the street. That's what that young lady was talking about. When you have hustlers out there, you have drug dealers out there, you have everybody else emptying out, because you can see them doing early in the morning time from West Baltimore and coming right, doing their stream, coming right down, going right down, cross Martin Luther King, heading right down to Lexington Market. And then they pile down there on that north Utah Street, and they hang down there all day long.
Sure.
Every day you see the same stream, the same guys, the same girls, and then the drug treatment facilities empty out. That's the issue that people are having. I don't even go down there.
Right.
Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the drug dealing, the drugs, the hustling, everything. Yeah. You can build a beautiful Lexington Market, but until you deal with the issues of the substance abuse, until you deal with the hustling, the drugs, the whatever, you're not going to, you can build the best. And it's still, as long as they keep streaming out, hanging down, they're loitering. And one of the things the ACLU and them say, that they, and they'll tell you, I can exercise my constitutional right, and I can stay in here as long as I want and do what I want, and you can't make me, because it's public space, it's public right-of-ways, it's public street, and I have a right to exercise my constitutional right. That's why they are hanging down there, because they're exercising their constitutional right on public right-of-way.
Hey, Don, I gotta stop you. I'm gonna have to stop you right there, but I appreciate that, and I think I'm glad that you brought that up. I want to get more, and we're gonna continue this into the second hour, folks, having this conversation. But I want to get a couple more calls in. Let's go to Ock, Mount Vernon. Ock, what's your take on it, sir?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Ock, how are you?
I'm still vertical.
Good.
Yeah, listen, you walk up to Lexington Market, it looks like Bantu land. And like the last caller, she's right. It's terrible up there. And I like to ask the gentleman, how often do you check those food vendors? They selling that food 3 and 4 days later.
Food safety. Great question, Doc. Great question. Thank you so much for checking in. Let me do this. Let's take a quick pause, then pick it when we come back. I want you to address those two things. The quality of the food that's being served, right? And then the second piece is, are there conversations with those rehab centers that are in that neighborhood? You know, what type of conversations that either Seawall or Lexington Market Inc. under the city's management or any about what's happening down there? Because Donna's right. You can't force people off, especially if it's public property. So I don't know if those conversations are happening or if there's some agreements made, and maybe you can give us some insight on that. Also, when we come back, folks, we're going to continue to give you some thoughts from those who are checking in on our Facebook page. Henry Thomas, I got you. Don't go anywhere. Also, in the second hour, we talk to Nigerian musician Fun Sho, who's going to be checking in at around the 6:30 hour to give us some insight about the works that he's doing, his musical projects, and how you can see him coming up. It's going to be a great second hour. So stick around. We got a whole lot to talk about as we continue the conversation about the future of Lexington Market. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Now let's check in with NPR with news, traffic, and a whole lot more. We'll be right back.